Romans chapter 13, notice number 1. The Word of God says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I want you to notice again in verse 4, the Bible says, for he, now he's talking about the higher powers, he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou wilt do that which is evil, be afraid. Notice this phrase here, for he beareth not the sword in vain. I want to preach on this morning as we consider here, as we think about Memorial Weekend, and we think about, no doubt, wars and battles that have been fought, and people that have laid down their lives for the things that we enjoy today. But what does the Bible say about going to war? Does the Bible say anything about it? Well, here I want you to notice the Bible says, he beareth not the sword in vain. This is speaking of war. And I want us to think as we come to this subject, and by the way, it's not really a subject that, you know, I necessarily prefer to speak about. I don't like to talk about hell. I don't like to study about hell, but that's what the Word of God says. And so we as the people of God must be biblically minded. And as we reason with people, it's not about sharing what we feel, but it's about sharing what God says. That's where the importance is. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us that we would be biblically minded in this area. Father, we pray that you would help us this morning as we study your word, that you would help us to put aside, Lord, our feelings and opinions, and may we think about what your word teaches. I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, and that which you would renew our minds by your word. I pray that you'd give us understanding. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to go to another passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you turn there with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, then we're going to come back to Romans here. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him to the for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Notice the word, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. When we think about human government, that is something that God created. There is really three forms of government, if you would, that exist. There's the home, there's the church, and there's the government. And the government is clear according to the Word of God, as we just read in Romans chapter 13, that this is ordained of God. This is God's design. And by the way, God, no matter what we think about what's going on in the world, God is in control. There's no doubt about it. God knows what He's doing. You know, we shouldn't blame things on God. The reason things are a mess is not because of God, it's because of man. And man is sinful. And whatever direction man takes without God is going to be the wrong direction. But here are some statistics of the number of, think about, Americans who have been killed in some of the wars that we have been involved in. And remember, think about that each of these people, we'll read some of the big numbers, but each of these individuals represent one human being who had a family, who had loved ones, who had friends, who had a mother, who was a father, who was a child, who was a daughter. Think about the War of Independence. 25,324 people were killed.
The War of 1812, 2,260 people were killed. The Civil War, the Northern Army lost 363,020 people. The Confederate Army lost 199,110 people. The Spanish-American War, we saw 2,893 killed. World War I, 116,708 were killed. World War II, 408,306 were killed. Almost 500,000 people. The Korean War, 53,246 people were killed. The Vietnam War, 58,219 were killed. Now, this is just about those that were in the American Army. You know, war is a terrible thing. There's no doubt about that. When death is involved, it is a terrible thing. But you think about the world, you know, the European nations of the world have entered into 8,000 treaties of peace in their history. 8,000, just in Europe alone. Every one of them was intended for permanent peace. But hardly any one of them lasted more than 2 years. Think about that. There have been 14,000 wars in the last 5,000 years of human history. 14,000 in 5,000 years of history. But we have to think about, as we deal with this, and no doubt war is a terrible thing, but we have to understand what the Bible teaches about war. You know, you'll see signs out there, and people, you'll see sometimes a yard sign, and it'll say this: war is not the answer. And although nobody likes war, I don't think there's anybody that's a human being today, a normal human being, that would say, oh yeah, I love war, I just enjoy it. Nobody does. But you know that war sometimes is necessary. You know, nobody would admit when Hitler came on the scene that you would try to make up a treaty and just give him a hug and everything would work out. That wouldn't happen. The man was a madman. The only answer was war. But you know that that's a biblical principle. And as we study the Word of God, and sometimes you'll also see people, and I'm ashamed that they call themselves Baptists. You hear of people like the Westboro Baptist Church. It's a shame that they call themselves Baptists, really. But they'll hold signs like as if, you know, God, you know, the death of the soldier is the judgment of God. That's a terrible thing. But the Bible is clear. We're going to see really three things this morning about government and war. The first thing we see is, first of all, the position of government. You know, as we read the Bible, we know that God has established the institution of the home, of the church, and of human government. Now, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible tells us, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Now, I want us to think about this. As long as there is sin in this world, there is going to be war. It's going to happen. You know, government is ordained of God. Really, government is God's provision to protect a people. It is very important to settle this in our minds. There will always be those who have a anarchist spirit, but we have to realize that to have a civilized society with human beings living in it, we must have a civilized government. There's no doubt about it. Because man is a sinner, he must be protected from other people. You know, we can lie down to sleep at night knowing that there is some form of government, whether it's local, city, county, or national, that will do what is necessary to protect its citizen. Now, I agree, you know, in every society, there are corrupt leaders. There are corrupt people. But let me say this, that government for the protection of the people is a good thing. And that's what government is intended for. Right. If you read our founding documents, it was clear that the number one reason the government was organized was to protect its citizens. Right. That's its main purpose. So the Bible says, and we just read just a minute ago, 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Now let's not mistake and kind of blur the lines and say, well, the government says that we shouldn't, you know, worship God this way, then we have to stop doing that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about here, the Bible makes it clear that government is intended for the punishment of evildoers and for the protection of its citizen. You know, all murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. Let me give you an example. If we follow the clear command of God's word and say that government has the right to exercise what we refer to today as capital punishment, there are certain crimes that people commit, and for their crimes, they should be put to death. This is clearly taught in the word of God. We just read a minute ago, Genesis 9:6. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. You know, a murderer is someone who takes it upon himself for a personal reason to take someone else's life. You know, if you work in an institution where a person is put to death and you are instructed by that institution to flip the switch, if you would, in the execution process, in doing that, you're not a murderer. Okay? The answer is no. You are not a killer. The answer is no. You are doing what you have been ordered to do by a civilized people that have determined to protect themselves. A lot of times you have people, when things like that happen, they'll stand outside with signs, says, this is murder. No, it is not murder, the person doing that. And they'll accuse the person, and they'll personally attack the person doing those things. You know, we must never forget that government is ordained of God. Individuals do not go to war. Nations go to war. You know, let's turn to Daniel chapter 2, if you would please. Daniel chapter 2. Notice in verse 19, the Bible says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God, For here and forever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So the Bible makes it clear here that it is God that removes kings and sets up kings. Now, we may not like the leaders, certain leaders at a certain time, and we think, well, I don't like that particular person. But let me say this. This is all in God's plan. Amen. It is. This is God's design. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes we can't be too bothered by the things that are taking place politically, because we have to realize when it's all said and done, God knows everything about it, and God is in control. Romans 9:17 says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. You know what God says here in Romans chapter 9, verse 17? That the reason why God rose Pharaoh up was to show forth his glory. And we know that God showed forth his glory when he delivered the people out of Egypt. But this was all ordained of God. You know, how do we think that America came into existence? If you think about it, if you study just a little bit of a history, you'd find that many people, I know there's people, settlers that came and for discovering the land and all these things, but you know there was a large percentage of the people that came seeking for religious freedom. That's why they came. And there are many people, and think about it, there are people that as they came over to this country who in turn began to persecute other people. Some people fled persecution, and in turn, when they came to this country, they began persecuting other people. But you know that the Baptists in this country, you have men like John Clark and John Leland, who were involved and instrumental in the forming documents of our country to promote total religious freedom. You know, most of the country lives under religious tolerance. Religious freedom is not religious tolerance. In Europe, most European countries live under religious tolerance. They'll tolerate people, but there are certain freedoms they won't let them enjoy. That's not like this in America. You can worship God as your conscience dictates, and nobody can say anything about it. Now, as long as it stays within certain parameters, again, if it goes against government and seeks to take the lives of other people. But it is here ordained of God. God is the one that sets it up. There is no other nation in this world that was formed the way this nation was, with total religious freedom, where you don't have to pay taxes to a church that you don't agree with, where no one is going to tell you, force you to go to church, and no one's going to make you do something that you don't want to do. So the position of government, again, is you have this position. Why? This is ordained of God. God is the one that sets up the leaders. God is the one that removes the leaders. And why? For the glory of God. So no matter what government we're under, no matter what situation we're in, we are to live our lives and submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. Now, I'm not talking about today, there are things that are taking place in government that we don't agree with, if we believe the Bible. But you know, if the government came in and says, well, you are not allowed to witness to other people, then what do you do as a Christian? You witness to other people. Okay? Why? Because that's an order, that's a command of God. You see? So we can't separate the two and say, well, blur the line. Well, we're supposed to submit to everything the government, so we're supposed to agree with abortion. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, when the government comes and, you know, has taxes, we pay the taxes. As much as we don't like to do it, we pay the taxes. And when the nation goes to war, the nation goes to war. It's not an individual, it's a nation. And so we see the position of government. Number two, we don't see the position of government, but we see the submission to government. I just mentioned that, but the Bible teaches that we are to be obedient to these higher powers. We are to submit ourselves to these higher powers. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. You know, when you're asked and say, well, what do you think about war? Well, you shouldn't express what you feel about it, but you should respond. That is what God's Word says about it, and we are going to be obedient to God's Word. Think about it. In England, under the reign of Henry VIII, a certain man was convicted of murder. He was brought before the King of England, Henry VIII, who gave the man a full pardon. After the man was pardoned, he killed another man and was brought before King Henry VIII again. Someone went to Henry VIII and asked, "Are you going to pardon him the second time?" Henry VIII replied this, "The first man he killed, the second man I killed, because I pardoned that murderer. He will not be pardoned the second time." Now, we think about this, and this is really a simple story that illustrates for us here that God created government, again, to protect its people. We're supposed to submit to it, knowing that the government is going to protect its citizen. There should never be a time where the people of God should go down the streets and protest the police. Right. Do you know that there are many churches that do that today? They'll criticize the police and they'll attack the police, and that is not the will of God. You know, when you call 911, they don't ask you where you live. They'll ask for your information nowhere, but it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what religion you're from. It doesn't matter what you look like, what you smell like. They're going to be there. There's no distinction between any people. They're going to be there. Why? They're protecting the people. Why? They're placed there by the government, and we're supposed to submit to it. Now, I know there's a lot of things going on, and today the government wants to control everything, and we're becoming more of, like Europe is, March of Europe, where it's all communism. You know, when I grew up in France, and I went through the public school system, and a lot of times people think that, you know, France is like free and you can do what you want, but not really so. It's really communist. In the sense that through my education, I went through the public school system, and based on your grade and the way you perform in certain classes, they would tell you, all right, you graduate high school, these are your options. You can only go into this direction. Well, I want to do this in my life. No, you can't do that. because this is how intellectual, this is how smart you are. You're not as smart as, this is for the smart people. You're not as smart. You're going to go. That's communism. Right. In America, it is not so. You want to educate yourself in an area? You just go and do it. Amen. If you can pay for it, freedom. That's freedom. Amen. Most countries don't work that way. For example, in China, at a very young age, a lot of these Chinese kids are sent into the air. Well, you're okay, this guy, he's going to be an athlete, and he trains to be an athlete for his whole life. Well, this guy's going to be a doctor from just young little boys and girls. Communism. It's not freedom. Now, in America, we have freedom. We do. We still do. Although the government is coming in and really crowding in our lives, trying to take control of more and more. But let's stop and say this. We ought to submit to government as long in the areas that do not violate the freedom of our conscience. All right? As long as it does not violate the freedom of our conscience. In other words, the Word of God dictates how we ought to live our lives, not the government. The government comes in and protects us and ought to help us, but doesn't try to dictate our lives. Okay? Now, when that happens, we know who dictates our lives. It ought to be the Lord. Amen. We ought to live our lives in the way that's pleasing to God, not to man. You know, you'll see that through history. John Bunyan, when he came, he was accused and he was preaching in England without a license. And he came before the judge and the judge says, "You can't preach, you don't have a license." And John Bunyan said, "Well, I'd rather obey God than man." Amen. So his accountability is to God. But here again, God says we ought to submit to every ordinance of man, understanding as long as it doesn't violate what the Word of God says. So we see the position of government, the submission to government. But number three, we see the confrontation of government. You know, going to war, and here we come here, going to war is sometimes the necessity of a nation. You know, there are times when we must go to war. I want to see here what Jesus... Turn with me to John chapter 18. I want to see here just what Jesus said himself. John chapter 18. And this may be sound like a ridiculous illustration, but let me put it this way. When my children are doing things, and I tell them to do certain things, and I say, "Look, this is, don't do this again." The intent is for them to obey. If they disobey, there are consequences for breaking daddy's laws. There's consequences. Right, David? Now think about that. Do you think that my children will ever respect me or will ever obey me if every time they disobeyed, I just came over to them and I said, "I love you. It's okay. Do what you want." My house would be a mess. Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm glad that when I said, "Look, sit down on the couch while I clean your room," he sits down. Okay, don't touch anything. What I'm saying is that we would never, okay, in life, in society, when someone transgresses or disobeys, if you have children, say, "Well, it's okay. I love you. That's all that matters." No. There's consequences for disobedience. There's consequences today for those that do evil. In John chapter 18, notice verse 36. Now, Jesus Christ here is going back and forth with Pilate. Notice verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." And notice, "If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, "Look, there's something bigger than just this world. You call me the king of the Jews, but I'm telling you that if my kingdom was of this world, if I was trying to take over this world, my servants would fight because I'm being accused unjustly. But my kingdom is not of this world." In other words, here Jesus says that it is right for a nation to go to war against nation if someone has done something against another party. But Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." If you go to, notice chapter 19, verse 9. The Bible says here, "And went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer." Verse 10. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Verse 11, Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. You see what Jesus is saying here? Pilate says, Don't you know that I can put you to death right now just by one word? And Jesus says, You don't have any power, except it comes from God. It was unjust. It was not right. But Pilate was ordained of God for the glory of God. What happened? Well, Jesus went to the cross. And as a result, died a Roman's death. And that result paid for our sin. All of them. Our sin debt. Yes, it was ordained of God for the glory of God. Now we look at this and well, that's not right. That's unjust. So we see here that Jesus Christ clearly said to Pilate here, you're set up by God. And as a matter of fact, if my kingdom was of this world, it would be right for me to go to war with you, but it is not of this world. In Luke chapter 22, verse 35, the Bible says, When I sent you without purse and script and shoes, lacked ye anything? He's talking to his disciples. And they said nothing. Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his script. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. What was he teaching there? He was teaching that if you do not want to make war out of this, fine, but you cannot make anything less than self-defense. There are times when you have to defend yourself, when you have to protect yourself. Ezekiel 14:21 says this, For this saith the Lord God, How much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. Here God tells us of His four judgments. The first is the sword. There are times when others commit evil acts towards us. How will God execute judgment on that evil? He could use another nation to execute judgment with the sword. Going to war is sometimes the necessity of a nation. You know, we want to live in a warless world. Everybody does. Everybody talks about peace. But the world will never be without war until Jesus Christ comes as the Prince of Peace. This world will never be at peace. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, as the day draws closer, there will be more talk of peace than ever before, but the greatest war is going to be raged. And really, that's what you're here today. We live in the most peaceful society than we've ever lived before. That's a lie. We live in the most violent society we've ever lived in before. You know, we speak on this subject. Let us speak not out of our feelings only, but with the clear teachings of the Word of God. And I want you to think this morning, for those who have died for the freedoms that we enjoy today in America, these men should be honored. These men and women should be honored. They should be recognized. We ought to remember, as we think about Memorial Day, it's a memorial. We're remembering those that have given their lives and sacrificed their lives for us to be able to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. Tomorrow, you can have a barbecue and not fear for your life. You can have a good time with your family and with friends because of the freedoms you have, because people have laid down their lives and given their lives for you and I throughout the centuries. And you may say, well, I don't agree with this particular war. Government is ordained of God. God is working all things according to His will. And we must make sure that as Christians that we honor God as we look at government. Look, government is going to be corrupt in any given society because man is corrupt and man is sinful. There's going to be corrupt people everywhere. You know, sometimes there are corrupt people in churches. That happens. But should that prevent us from living a life in the way that's pleasing to God? No, it shouldn't. I'm not going to pay my taxes because I don't like what the government does with my taxes. That's the same reason why people don't go to church. I'm not going to go to church because there's hypocrites there. That's not a good reason to stay away from church. We must submit ourselves to God. You know, It is like this for all of our lives as Christians. Why do I tithe? You know, I don't tithe to the church. I tithe to God. I'm not giving my money to the pastor. I'm giving my money to God. You think about all of our lives. I am not submitting to government because I like the government. I'm submitting to government because of God. My children should submit to the authority of their parents, not because of their parents, but because of God. You see, God is the standard. And we have to stop looking at the circumstances and all the things taking place. You know what? My authority is God. And I'm going to do what God has said and not what I think I should react based upon what I see. That's important in our lives. Because a lot of times we'll justify the way we do things and we'll justify really going against what the Word of God says because, well, this is not right, so I can't do that. We must be submissive to God. You know, the Bible says, honor your father and thy mother. Well, you know, nobody has perfect parents. But the fact that your parents are not perfect does not mean you should not honor them anymore. You see, whether your parents were godly or ungodly, it doesn't matter. You ought to honor them, no matter the kind of life they lived. Why? Because it's a biblical principle. So we have to think here biblically. And as we think of Memorial Day, let's remember what the Bible says about war. The people that live in their lives, they're not murderers. They were fulfilling what us as a nation undertook to go to war with another nation, whether it be freedom from England or whether it be defeating Hitler and the German army and and Mussolini and all these people. Okay, it was a nation. Not individuals. And we should never look at people who are carrying out the duties of the civilized government and say, well, these are evil people. No, they're not. They're carrying the duty for us. And many people have sacrificed and given their lives. I have a brother-in-law right now who's deployed overseas and really willing to risk their lives right now. They're people. You know, there's still people that die today to defend from those that do evil in this world. And so let's be grateful, but understand what the Bible teaches about that. It's not really a popular message for, you know, as we think for today, but it's a necessary message because there's a lot of confusion out there. And the sad thing is that many times, many people in the Christian circle have kind of said, oh, we're supposed to love people, not kill, not go to war. No, God makes it clear that sometimes war is necessary. It's necessary. So let's ask the Lord to help us in our thinking and to really give us a spirit of gratefulness and thankfulness at this time.